and White at night. We own the night. This is Leafs Nation postgame on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network.
We are on the airwaves with Leafs Nation postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers. Scorched Alex, Sean Mathias with you on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Of course, on Sportsnet 590 The Fan, the only station that we do a postgame show for all 82 Toronto Maple Leaf games. And right now, we'll call it the Ragging the Puck segment, Sean, as we're late in a 2-2 tie, the Maple Leafs against the St. Louis Blues. So we'll get you right through that game, whether regulation time, overtime, or a shootout. But boy, oh boy, we're sitting there watching and thinking, man, this is a lot like the Arizona Coyote game was on Saturday. And lo and behold, a couple of goals within a matter of seconds.
Yeah, Freddie was playing well all game, but they've definitely picked up their game this third period. But the first two periods, they were getting beat a lot. They weren't playing great in their own end and losing a lot of lines. But they picked up their life here, and they got a lot of energy in this third period.
St. Louis Blues, 10 wins in a row. So trying to keep their streak as the hottest team in the National Hockey League. Kind of a funny animal. They really have soundly outplayed the Toronto Maple Leafs. And right now, you don't have the W yet, or you don't have the W to show for it. So I don't know if the momentum goes to the Maple Leafs a bit because they were getting dominated and now are in a game they shouldn't be, or if the Blues can. I guess that's a sign of a good team if they can maintain it and get it and sustain it and grow it again.
Yeah, I think the tide has changed in this game especially. I mean, first two periods, it was crazy. Like, the Leafs just didn't look like themselves. They were losing all the puck battles, and then third period is just a fully it's a brand new team, and they jinxed the shutout, and I'll say that was the difference maker for this game.
Yeah, I've got a good friend who's out with Jordan Biddington's mom and stepdad, and said he cursed the TV screen when he saw the shutout streak mentioned, because it was almost like a four full game shutout streak the St. Louis Blues were on, and then very shortly after that the Leafs scored their first of two goals. So It's true. Like, whether people are really superstitious or not in sports, there's just whether it's a no hitter, a shutout, just certain things you don't say.
Yeah, you never talk about a shutout, in especially in the dressing room. I made that mistake early in my career and never did it again. So, yeah, you don't talk about those things, especially with the goalies. They're weird as it is, so you don't need to get in their head anymore.
Well, you look at a St. Louis Blue team. I don't know when you've been at a team that had really struggled and then turned it around to a significant degree like the Blues have done. I mean, how much, like what happens? How much is it simply goaltending, which in this case I think has to be a big part, and how much is it just other things, confidence or whatever?
They're a good team. I mean, at the beginning of the season, they just weren't playing up to their standards. They're a lot better than what they showed the first half, but now we're seeing the team that they have good defense, four good lines. They just needed that goaltending. And that we were talking about it off air, about they're kind of like Philly, where they haven't had those that number one ever, really. Mm-hmm. Like, they've always kind of had a lot of changes there, and they've had some really good teams that were close, but they just never had that number one goalie.
And it's interesting, the same thing going on with the Philadelphia Flyers, as far as they had the big turnaround in the Eastern Conference, and goaltending, such a big part of that. You know, Mike Babcock seemed to, he mentioned a neat term about the St. Louis Blue players. You like their defensemen are long. That's a different phrase. Do you get what he means?
Yeah, I've never heard that, but I understand. They're big guys, long sticks. They skate well. They're big in their own end. They're a tough team to play against. They've always had a good D. Bomeister, I played with him, he's a really good defenseman, and he's one of the guys that's kind of been in and out of the lineup now. And when he's kind of your bottom pairing guy, I mean, you got a good D quarter.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And we mentioned a little one going on. We're down now about a minute left in regulation time. Again, a 2-2 tie, and we'll fall out right to the end. Then right after, of course, we'll hear from Mike Babcock. Chris Johnson will join us from St. Louis. We'll play back all the goals. We'll pick our hardest working Leaf of the game. I get a feeling it could be the goalkeeper. But anyway, yeah. We'll see what gives there. Nazem Kadri. And Leafs have not had many injuries along the way. Andreas Janssen, latest one, missed a little bit. Of course, Tyler Ennis had been out for a while. Now he is back. And it seemed like we were wondering, what is it the San Jose Sharks, you know, they went at Nazem Kadri. The Blues seem to have a little bit of bite and edge. It can't be way back to the fight against David Backes 4 years ago, but they seem to really go away. He took some tough hits in the first period.
He definitely did. And Backes isn't even there yet. Yeah. I don't even understand what it's all about, but they've definitely taken some runs at him. I'm surprised they didn't, concussion protocol didn't flag him before that, because he took a big hit there and it looked like his head got clipped a little bit. I'm not sure why they didn't flag him, because now he's out with a concussion. He took a second hit there, and it's always the second hit that's the worst.
Yeah, you know, a good hit from Vince Dunn early on, and as you mentioned, then kept playing, and then other hits. And the other part, you find it. You have any concussions?
I'm sure I've had a few. Okay. And, I've been knocked out a couple times.
Oh, okay. Well, then, yeah, so, then you have had to in yeah. some degree. And then what they say is that, I know with Brett Lindros, again, going way back, but his last one that ended his career, it wasn't even a direct hit. Like, it just, if you, once you get something, it takes so much less to give you some kind of problem that way.
Sometimes you can just get those body hits. You don't even take one to the head. It just rattles your whole body. And now they're saying those are concussion types of hits. And I mean, when I was playing, there was definitely a couple times where I thought I was concussed, and it was just a different game there. It was different protocol. It was just, you sucked it up because you didn't want to lose your job.
Well, we got 2-2 ties, so the Leafs will get a point out of this in a game that it looked like no way they would get a point. They're going to go into overtime now, and then after that would be the shootout if nobody scores. So we'll keep you posted here. Leafs Nation postgame brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers, Gorts Delek, Sean Mathias on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. We heard the Sportsnet guys, Nick Kyprios, and that, you know, one game does not make a season. But again, talking about what everyone talks about, what is the word, grit, whatever it may be, that is perceived as lacking with the Maple Leafs, that they're going to take on a team like the Boston Bruins in the first round of the Stanley Cup playoffs. Kipper really seems to think, I don't know what kind of player we're talking about. I don't know if it means Wayne Simmonds. I don't know. But what do you think about that, and lacking or not lacking, necessary or not necessary for the Toronto Maple Leafs going in the playoffs?
Wayne Simmonds or Ferland would be a great fit for their bottom six. You look at the first period, Freddie gets poked and by O'Reilly, and nobody does anything. There's no bite back. And you can say Muzzin plays hard between the periods or between the whistles or whatever, but you need that guy who's going to go after a guy going at your number one goalie like that who's had injury problems. And if your players like Nazem Kadri gets hit like that, you need a guy coming after him as well. You need that. You need the sheriff out there. You need someone protecting your players. Not saying fighting, but at least get in his face, have a little bit bite back. And, you know, your players, if you see that and you see your player going doing that, I mean, that gets you going as a player as well because you care about one another.
Are you fighting now being doing some media work and now being a fan or whatever you want to call yourself your first year out of the NHL, that how reactive it is, how perspective is not part of a fan's thing? One game, you know, one game is everything. I go back, like those Boston games, and I know you had your own playoff series and your own team situations to worry about, but those two killer seven-game losses – both times the Leafs came back to make it go seven, right? Both times they looked they were going to get swept, made it go seven, forced the seventh game. And both times they had a lead going in the third period. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, but if you ask a Leaf fan, they got the crap kicked out of them. They got killed. They lost. And really, if you kind of take a breath, that's not the case. It doesn't mean you don't get somebody, but it wasn't like a four-game sweep where you got run out of the building.
Yeah, they were heartbreakers. I don't know what you do. You need that defenseman with the right-handed shot, and you need a third, fourth line bottom six type of grinder, I think. And it's tough. I mean, what do you do? A lot of teams are going to be going after guys like Ferland and Wayne Simmonds.
Mm-hmm. Well, they're good. And by the way, so just very quickly, the St. Louis Blues win in overtime. I mean, it was like in no time at all. So they keep their winning streak now. They're pumped. 11 straight wins. It's a team record for the St. Louis Blues. Their 11th straight victory for the Toronto Maple Leafs. They end their six-game road trip, and they pick up a big point under the circumstances. I guess this is one where both teams go happy to a degree.
I think so. That's a big point for the team. They didn't play their best. They weren't good the first two periods. They came alive in the third period, and they got that one point. And against a team that's hot like St. Louis, I mean, that's a good – it's not a great game. They want to be better. They're going to do some video, I'm sure, and correct some things. But, I mean, the total morale, I mean, that's a good game. You came back. You didn't play your best, but you kept fighting, and you could see guys like Marner and – JT playing hard and competing hard. So there's some things they need to work on, but there are some good things there.
Very quickly on a 3-on-3, they lose the game. I'm trying to think who scored that. Is that O'Reilly? Ryan O'Reilly again? Yeah, he gets the overtime winner. Did you get to play much 3-on-3?
Not one shift.
No, I was going to say. Yeah. It sort of becomes a limited group, doesn't it?
It does.
It's like about six or seven guys, and the rest of you can kind of sit and watch.
Yeah, there's like two defensemen and then what, four forwards maybe.
Right.
So it's, and there's always that one guy who's having like the good game and the coach like go out there. Never got that, but you know, he gives you like the little nod and you're just fired up. And yeah.
What about shootouts?
I had one
and
didn't score.
Oh, okay.
So that was the end of it. Yeah. I had one penalty shot though.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Scored on that.
Okay. On who?
Halak.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That's real good.
Yeah.
Well,
can get me in the shootout, though.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, that's it. So now, quick thing, we'll take a look at some of the out-of-town scores going on tonight as well. We'll talk some NHL trade deadline things. I guess you mentioned the interest. Matt Duchene, apparently the Senators have already said he's not going to dress for their last two games, so you're going to start seeing guys sitting out there. What are you hearing, Winnipeg, team you finished up your NHL career? They're obviously keen.
Yeah, they keep talking about Stone or Duchene. They keep talking about all their free agents at the end of the year, but I think Stone would be a great fit there. And you hear about Nashville taking him as well, going in trying to get him. But I mean, if Winnipeg can get him, I mean, I think he's the perfect piece. He's from there. He's a winger that they need. He can play on the second line, I think, or third line. I mean, they're so deep. If you add someone like Stone or Duchene, I mean, they're gonna be something else. They're already a top team as it is.
Yeah, well, we'll find out. There were no trades made today, but of course, down to the NHL trade deadline, some of the games going on tonight. So I'll read them all, and then we can go through them again. Boy, Florida Panthers, a 3-2 shootout win over the Calgary Flames. New York Islanders, 3-0 shutout over the Columbus Blue Jackets. Tough back-to-back games for the Columbus Blue Jackets, losing to Tampa Bay last night. Detroit beat Ottawa 3-2. Ottawa still dead last. Of course, Colorado has that pick. Tampa Bay shutting out Dallas 6-0. Nashville 3-1 over Montreal. Boy, Colorado 4-1 over the Winnipeg Jets. They've sort of resurrected. The Chicago Blackhawks 5-2 over the New Jersey Devils. We'll take a look later on, but they could be in the playoffs with that. 4-0, the Juggernauts. I got the wrong games. Do I have the wrong games here? I got the wrong date, don't I? Yeah, way back when. Okay, here we go. Let me get back here. Okay, here we go. Take two. We've got the games going on for tonight. The Toronto Maple Leafs. Okay, Nashville Predators, Dallas Stars, Tuesday, February 19th, right? I'm back to the right day. I was doing Valentine's Day. I look back to an old one there. Okay, Nashville 3-3. The tie in the third period. Arizona 1-0 over Edmonton. Connor McDavid sick tonight, not playing due to illness. Florida beat Buffalo. I had that right. Florida won 4-2. Pittsburgh beat New Jersey 4-3. Tampa Bay 5-2 over Philadelphia. New York Rangers 2-1 over Carolina. No Carolina Hurricane surge tonight. Montreal 3-2 over Columbus. Anaheim 4-0 shutout over the Minnesota Wild in Minnesota. Ouch.
That's tough for Minnesota.
Yeah. Our buddy Bruce Boudreau. Anyway, here. What else catches your eye about these games going on? Tough loss for Columbus again in Montreal. They lose back-to-back that way.
Panarin not playing.
Yeah, Panarin not playing, and John Tortorella even used the word to explain.
Just sewered him, eh?
Yeah, just explain when you have the flu, you do a lot of things, and people were skeptical, were cynical, and he said, no, he's got it, and here's what he's doing, and he had to get it beeped out a little.
Maybe he thought that because of like the whole like Duchene thing.
Yeah,
he
was totally.
Like, oh, I'm just going to tell him if he was healthy, we would play him, but he's not, and it's coming out of both ends right now.
Yeah, he made that clear. Yeah, he made that clear about Artemi Panarin. Well, we got it now. We will be back. We'll kick it off with Leafs Nation postgame brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers. A 12-day road trip comes to a close. They'll be home on Thursday against the Washington Capitals. We'll be down there, have all the action for you on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. But a whole lot of Leafs Nation postgame coming up. Gord Stellick, Sean Mathias. Leafs Nation postgame brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Breaking down what's up.
What's up?
This is Leafs Nation postgame on Sportsnet 590, The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network.
Marner sees a chance, draws in. Marner round behind the goal, looks out front. He thought he had Tavares. He is upended. And now 2-on-1, back the other way. Morgan Riley in the middle and scores. Ryan O'Reilly.
That's the way it was. 34 seconds in overtime. Ryan O'Reilly scores the overtime winner. The St. Louis Blues defeat the Toronto Maple Leafs 3-2 in overtime. We welcome you back to Leafs Nation postgame. Brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers. Gord Stellick, Sean Mathias in for Mark Savard tonight here on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. We'll hear from head coach Mike Babcock in a few minutes' time. We're going to replay the goals of the game coming up soon. We'll also check with our man Chris Johnston. He's joining us from St. Louis. And we call it the walk to the subway. I know you've done it a few times, and you head out of Air Canada Center. In this case, I don't remember a subway around the arena in St. Louis, but if you're a Blues fan, you're jacked, you're pumped. It's 11 straight wins, an exciting finish for them. For the Maple Leafs, got to think they're happy to get a point.
They must be. After the first two periods, how they played, they have to be happy with at least one point there. I mean, it wasn't their best game. They were a little bit soft in their own end, I thought. They didn't win the lines. And, I mean, these are things that Babcock's going to definitely have on video tomorrow.
You know, something I used to say, or someone had mentioned it to me, and you could watch, like, you could watch in a morning skate, I know they don't have them all the time now, but you could just watch team skate and have no idea what their record was, but how they had their skate, how they're doing. Like, you know, they're full of piss and vinegar. They're smiling, their whole thing versus, you know, whatever. And so when you run into a team, and the Leafs are playing pretty well, but when you run to the hottest team in the NHL, there's just an intangible there. Yeah, we saw it tonight.
Yeah, going back to your point about like morning skate, this time of year you can tell how a team's doing with how many guys are on the ice as well. Like some of the coaches will have the whole team where a team that's winning, it's just do whatever, guys, as long as you win. But I mean, they ran into a hot team, and Toronto's been playing well too the last 10 games. So it's two teams that have been playing pretty good. Well, one team playing really good hockey, but I mean, it was a tough game. And you see with Toronto, they kind of at times play to their opponent, and I thought they'd play a little bit better tonight. I thought they'd be up for this one more.
Yeah, shots on goal, 41-33, and I don't know what the actual scoring chances are because teams keep them internally. But, boy, the Leafs were getting none of them. I got to say, when they get those two goals just seconds apart from Zach Hyman and Austin Matthews, they got to be real fortunate. And they even won, like Mitch Marner, again, he got caught in the overtime, which is not uncommon about a giveaway. It's odd man rushes in overtime. But he also had one of those dekes that he just went too far and got everyone caught. Morgan Rielly got caught because he's coming in, and it just seemed up till they getting those two goals that they just weren't getting that shot away, or St. Louis wasn't allowing them to get that shot away.
Yeah, last year Byfuglien said a funny story to me. We lost the game in overtime, and he pinched or made a pass. He did something, and it cost the game. And I remember sitting with him after the game on the plane, and he said to me, he goes, I could have been the hero. I had to make the play. Like, I had to take that chance. I'm either the hero or they go on the breakaway and they score like they did. And I remember thinking, I was like, you don't care? He's like, well, if I made the play, it probably would have been a different game, right? And I always had the mindset, play it safe, right? And
yeah.
But these...
Can you, like, in overtime play it safe as easily? 3-on-3?
It's tough 3-on-3. Once you lose the puck, it's hard to get it back. That's what you see. It's all about possession. But a guy like Marner, I mean, you want him having the puck. You want him having that confidence, making those plays. I'm sure he wishes he had that one back, but if I'm a Leaf fan, I'm happy seeing him with confidence with the puck. And it goes back to like Nylander. I mean, we saw for a little while there, he didn't want the puck on his stick. Now he's playing hard. So it's a learning curve. Marner's still a young player. I'm sure Babcock or maybe Jim will talk to him, one of the assistant coaches or something. But I mean, him with the puck on his stick, that's who you want. You want Matthews or guys like that being confident, but sometimes they're going to make those plays that go back the other way and cost you a game or something like that. But I mean, these superstars like Byfuglien or Marner, they have that mindset. They want to compete. They want to win. And maybe that's why I never got out 3-on-3, like we said earlier, because I had the mindset of chipping it in and playing it safe. So, but they're young players that are going to get better.
And Jim Hiller, of course, the assistant coach. How did Babcock use the assistant coaches?
He uses, Jim did power play, and he uses them a lot. They're in meetings, they're talking, they do their own video, they talk to a lot of players. Jim did a lot of work with guys after practice, talking to guys. If you're struggling, Jim would talk to you first, usually before Babcock. They have a really good core of coaches there. They do a really good job from the management side all the way down to the trainers. I mean, everyone's top-notch in Toronto.
Well, as we talk about the 3-2 overtime win, the St. Louis Blues over the Toronto Maple Leafs. So you're looking at the stat sheet, and normally you would look at your own playing time. Every player grabs it, looks at their own playing time, but those days don't happen this year for you. So anything catches your eye?
The ice time. I'm surprised Matthews is fourth on forwards for ice time. You got Kapanen, which I was really surprised, and Hyman. I mean, the other two are Marner and Tavares. So, But when you see Kapanen and Hyman there with almost 4 minutes more. I mean, there wasn't any power plays and there were shorthanded minutes there, but still, I mean, you would think you'd want Matthews closer in a game like this too, where it's close going a third, you would think he'd be closer around 20 minutes. No.
Yeah.
Especially when you have the GOAT playing only, I mean, and he had Kadri hurt with four minutes there, and you have the GOAT playing only 7 minutes. So those are your two bottom centers.
So yeah. So Kadri,
how is he playing 16?
So Kadri only played 4 minutes. You're right there. Freddie Gauthier, as you talking about, he played 7 minutes, 41 seconds.
Yeah.
So that is.
And he had 12 shifts and Matthews only had 24. He had double the shifts.
And you're talking about, and this is something that Mark Savard watches quite a bit because Savvy, unlike you, is a prima donna. Okay. And he just said that he wanted his ice time. He would watch that kind of stuff. And so, So in a game where Nazem Kadri basically was out for a chunk of it, only played 4 minutes. So you've got Zach Hyman with 20 minutes and 8 seconds. Kasperi Kapanen played 18 minutes, 20 seconds. And Austin Matthews, 16 minutes, 52 seconds. I don't think he was out there. I don't know if he was out there in overtime as well. But, you know, fresh off the new contract. And you think fresh off any misunderstanding about, we talked about the Leaf-Boston Bruins series last year. And again, it left with one of the lingering things was it was not a satisfying series for Austin Matthews. And Austin Matthews wasn't satisfied the way Mike Babcock used Austin Matthews in that series.
How is he supposed to be satisfied when Hyman's playing 20 minutes? Like, Hyman wouldn't play 20 minutes on any other team. Not in a close game like that. It's just, it wouldn't happen. Not over Matthews. It just doesn't make sense. As a player, I mean, I would have loved to see my minutes like that over. I would be shocked. Like, it just doesn't make sense. I don't understand, especially with Kadri getting only 4 minutes and the GOAT only having 7 minutes. Like, it doesn't make sense.
Yeah, and incidentally, it's Zach Hyman, Austin Matthews, who scored the two Maple Leaf goals to tie the game up. So that is one that does jump out of you. We also noticed a little bit of a change on the defense, because a lot of people are wondering Gardner, you know, being paired with Dermott. Was it or they got Chan? They was back with Zaitsev, right? They kind of moved the D around a little bit. Mike Babcock made a quick adjustment early in the game.
I thought Muzzin was struggling with the change. He just didn't look himself. He had the first goal. He had the blown wheel. I mean, the ice is slippery out there, but it just, nothing really looked like it was clicking today. The Lions didn't look like they were clicking. They looked like they were fighting the puck quite a bit. And then their own end, the defensive game, I mean, they just looked like they just weren't competing like they usually do.
Yeah, you know, you mentioned with Vancouver, you got used to trips like this. 6 games, 11 days. I know they travel first class. I know you stay in first class places. I know they could go golfing. There are a lot of things. There was sunshine. It's a long trip.
Mm-hmm.
This is the final game tonight. I don't know, what's the longest you've had?
Oh, Vancouver, you'd be on the road for about 2 weeks. Usually about 2 weeks is, there's nothing longer than that. I think the 1 year where they had the Olympics or whatever, they were on the road
right.
quite a bit. But other than that, it's usually about 2 weeks. But Toronto, they usually play games that are, they're in and out of cities quite a bit.
This is really unusual.
Is probably, you're right. This is probably tough for them. A team like Vancouver, they're used to be on the road quite a bit. And when I went to Toronto, it was a big change going to the States, coming home. Being home for a day, then you're back on the road for just one game, then you're back home for a game, then you day off, and then you're back on the road. Like, it was just in and out of cities. I never really felt like I was somewhere long enough. So maybe when they're on their long road trip, especially the West, I mean, it's tough playing those teams. They're bigger teams, and Babcock was talking about the long defensemen. I mean, they just look like they got beat. They look like they lost to a more mature team, a team with more experience.
6 games, 12 days, this road trip. So they'll fly home tonight afterwards. So should we play the goals first and then get Chris? Or we'll try. We got the goals coming up. We got Chris Johnson. We got Mike Babcock. We'll just get all the elements going on that way and figure it out, which is going, of course, Chris doing a lot of work on Sportsnet tonight and also covering the NHL trade deadline. Go with the goals. Let's go with the goals. We'll start with the goals tonight since because Sean's already been described. We'll just get one more track at Chris and see what gives, because you've already talked about a few of them. Jake Muzzin involved in that first goal against for the St. Louis Blues early on and all the plays that went. And again, shots on goal, 41-33. Boy, pretty balanced attack by the St. Louis Blues. For the Maple Leafs, top shot guy was Mitch Marner, had 5 shots. So there we go. We have stalled perfectly. Chris Johnson, the man of many traits, many, many jobs, joining us from St. Louis. Of course, he was part of the coverage tonight on Sportsnet. Okay, we're going to try to get him again here. Okay. This is
cell service in St. Louis.
Yeah, I know. They got, you know what, one thing years ago, because this is too long ago, but remember the name Leon Spinks, a boxer?
Anyway, oh, yeah.
He was heavyweight champion of the world, and he worked on the ice crew in St. Louis.
Really?
He worked on the ice crew. Like, it was weird. Going to a game then, and he'd lost all his money and whatever, and he was one of the guys on the ice crew. His brother, Michael Spinks, was a real good boxer, made lots of money, and kept his money, but Leon was part of the ice crew. So be careful with your money, okay?
Okay, sounds good.
You got Stu Gavin helping you, so that's...
But now it's all girls, like, doing the ice, right? They, like, you go to Dallas, they got their...
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, Leon, yeah. Leon
so I might be, there's no work for me there.
Okay, we have. Joining Gord Stellick, Sean Mathias, Leafs Nation postgame brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers. 3-2 overtime win for the St. Louis Blues over the Toronto Maple Leafs. Like you said, Chris Johnson, a very busy guy. How are you, Chris?
I'm doing well, guys. How are you?
Good, good. We were just talking about, it's weird. St. Louis Blues were dead last in the NHL, number 31 on January 3rd. But right now, they got that mystique and buzz and intangibles of a team that's on the tear.
Well, I mean, they look great. And it's not just in tonight's game, you know, especially the first period, but over this last stretch. I mean, you know, I to me, this is where we thought they would be if you go back to the summer. And, you know, I liked what the Blues did in the offseason. Obviously, they have a, you know, a pretty solid blue line. They got some dangerous forwards. And, you know, for whatever reason, it didn't happen right away. But they've found their way now. And I would say that there's probably no team in the Western Conference that would be anxious to face them at any stage of the playoffs this year, you know, seeing the way they're performing, what the underlying numbers say, but what they're doing. I mean, this is a really good hockey team. And, you know, it's a long season. So maybe will remind us not to make too many bold proclamations after 30 games.
With the injury to Kadri tonight, Chris, I'm just wondering who you see filling that spot, because I highly doubt the GOAT's going to be moving up to the third line anytime soon. And with Ennis out, I mean, what kind of lineup lines do you see for the next game?
I would think we're going to see more of William Nylander at center. And you
think Nylander's going to center? Really?
Yeah. Mike Babcock seems to want to do that. He seemed to like what Nylander did. And in the pinch, you know, I think that's the natural move for them to do. You know, it's not perfect. He hasn't played a ton of that position at the NHL level. But, you know, if you're using him as your third center behind Matthews and Tavares, I think that there's ways you can shelter him, especially at home. And, you know, that would be my sense of what we're going to see next, Sean.
He was 100% on draws tonight, so you do have a point.
Well, and you know, he has played it a little bit, and he certainly grew up that way. But in the past, when the Leafs have tried it, you know, he hasn't had much of a rope from the coach. But, you know, Mike Babcock was pumping him up after tonight's game. And so, you know, to me, that's a sign that, you know, they're already thinking ahead to Thursday, and the likelihood, I would assume, that Kadri's out and they're going to have to move things around a little bit.
Yeah, and, you know, and Sean, you know more about it than I do anyway, but just once you use the C word for concussions, which is what's got used for Nazem Kadri, isn't it? And then there is no quick fix. So it seemed like, and we were curious if he might have got it on the first hit and maybe should have been lifted for concussion protocol then, because he got hit two more times in the first period.
Yeah, probably doesn't even know, to be honest. You know, certainly there's no indication from the team when it occurred, but, you know, it's still an imperfect science. And, you know, he didn't look dazed. He didn't show any obvious signs, at least that I saw in the replay on that Vince Dunn hit, the one in open ice, that it was obviously a hard check. You know, he got up right away and seemed with it, but, you know, they were still pretty proactive and pulled him at the first intermission. And, you know, who knows how long he's gone. You know, Nazem Kadri has had some concussions in the past. There's no set time limit on these sorts of things. And it could be quick or might not be. Let's hope for his sake that his health returns to normal as soon as possible.
Well, you got to think it's going to be at least 10 days before he's even cleared to skate. That's usually the protocol.
It is. You know, I don't know. You know, I'm not sure. But, you know, I do applaud the Leafs now. They're being far more forthcoming with these injuries. I think that there's maybe not the same insinuation that anyone's pressuring players to play through these type of things. And I've seen an evolution just in my years around the NHL and specifically this team, that they come out and before we even get to the second intermission, they've already labeled it a concussion.
Does Robidoux Island still exist?
Well, I've seen Stefan Robidoux around from time to time. He still works in the organization, but you know, there's really only one guy left on it, Nathan Horton. And, you know, I don't want to make any light of his injuries. Pretty serious back ailment, yeah, ended his career, yeah, prematurely. But you know, the Leafs aren't parking players the way they once did. You know, it's a different phase of the organization now.
Yeah, no, and I liked Stefan Robidoux too. He just arrived injured, so it was kind of kiddingly. Joffrey Leupold and others just disappeared and went to this mythical Robidoux Island. Did you want to check it out too, Sean? Did you ever?
Well, that's one way to collect a paycheck. Your paycheck, eh? Just, yeah, to work. Well. Yeah. Do you know what he's doing for the team?
He's in a developmental role, Sean. He's around the Marlies a lot, working with the defensemen. And I know he's under the player development umbrella, but I don't know what his day-to-day life and job is looking like. But, you know, he's off the payroll as a player, and now he's on to it as a staff member. So it's still been a good good move for him to come and sign with Toronto, even though he didn't get very many games as a Leaf.
So Sean Mathias, Gord Stellick, a 3-2 overtime win for the St. Louis Blues over the Toronto Maple Leafs. You're listening to Leafs Nation postgame brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers. Chris Johnston joining us. So, Sean, why don't you ask your ice time question? Because Savvy's always on top of that, and nobody knows Austin Matthews better from a media point of view than Chris Johnston.
Chris, we're having a tough time figuring out why Hyman had 20 minutes tonight and 4 minutes more than Matthews. But Matthews only had 16. I mean, there was shorthanded. There was no power plays, but still.
Kadri was hurt.
Yeah. 4 minutes for Kadri, 7 minutes for the GOAT, and Hyman still gets 4 minutes more. And he's a winger. He's not playing center.
Yeah, that's tough to figure. I mean, some of it would be made up because Hyman kills some penalties and there was a discrepancy between the power plays and penalty kill. But, you know, that doesn't seem right. You know, I'm in the camp that I think they should play Austin more than they do as a whole. You know, he's still only in the 18-minute range. And when you look at some of the top-end centers in the league, you know, a lot of those guys are playing closer to 20 and some of them a lot more than that. Obviously, the Leafs have a bit more depth to that position than a lot of teams are able to have. But, you know, I think that he would stand to benefit from more ice time. You know, he's still scoring, 28 goals now? Still scoring at a rate very few in the league, if any, are. And you know, I don't think he'd complain if they started leaning on him more. And, you know, I can't really come up with a good answer for you why that happened other than Hyman will kill some penalties and obviously playing on John Tavares' wing. But if you look at the pure numbers, it doesn't make a lot of sense.
It makes zero sense. I don't think Detroit won the cup with Helmer Ablicator leading the charge there. So, I mean, you need Matthews. He's your number one guy. He should be out there more, I think.
Well, and there's other, you know, I can tell you there's people within the organization, not on the coaching staff, that wonder why Hyman, you know, is even as high up the lineup as he is. You know, he's essentially, this is his third season now where he's either been on Matthews' wing pretty much full time or now on Tavares' wing and, you know, essentially always been in what we call the Leafs top six. And, you know, I'm not taking any issue with the player here, but he's obviously a bit more of a meat and potatoes kind of guy, not nearly as skilled as some others on the team. And, you know, I think the coach likes that he forechecks and, you know, maybe wins the odd board battle, you know, and gets the puck back to his skilled line mates. But, you know, I think that there's a case at some point that, you know, maybe he should be bumped a little further back down the lineup.
Well, he makes, 2.2, and you got someone making $7 million on the third line playing below him. So I think they have a right to be a little upset with that one.
Yeah,
as
well,
it's a fan.
Yeah, well, it'll be, and of course, we'll talk about figuring out the money as well as get going, figure out Matthews' ice time, especially heading in the playoffs, because it was an issue last year in that series against Boston. Well, you know, one other thing is just you're going to be super busy up to Monday, including Monday here on Sportsnet. So, I mean, we kind of kidded. You got in a long discussion on the Good Show about the need for a right-shot defenseman. Tonight, Nick Kiprios felt that this kind of game shows that you need a physical forward. So where would you rank those needs as, like, must-get, you know, desperate, see what happens, or don't worry about it?
Well, you know, I don't think anything's must-get because at this point, the Leafs would be giving up a lot to get. You know, what I think they need long-term is someone that you're very comfortable playing alongside Riley on the right side of your top pairing, you know, a D that could play 24 minutes a night. They're just not getting that at this deadline. I mean, even if they get a Radko Gudas or some of the other right-shot Ds, maybe Nick Jensen, you know, that were discussed on the broadcast, it's not that guy, you know, that they would still be depth players on this Leafs blue line. You know, over time, I think they got to address that. But at this deadline, you know, to get a real impact player, you're talking about giving up a Kapanen or a Janssen or, you know, maybe one of the top prospects down at the Marlies in Sandin or Liljegren. And you know, I'm not sure that that's a smart thing to do. You know, they've already traded away their first-round pick to get Jake Muzzin as part of the deal with L.A. last month. You know, the truth is that I don't know that there's one simple answer. And I understand, look, I know the way Kipper played. I understand why he wants, you know, more toughness on among the forward group, but, you know, I really don't see Kyle Dubas doing that myself. You know, I think that, you know, Pittsburgh won a couple cups in 2016 and 17, not with a team built that way. I think a lot of people are looking at the Bruins and wondering if that's why the Leafs should try to, I guess, match up that well. But, you know, I really think it's probably going to be a quiet deadline for Toronto because, you know, Kyle Dubas already made his big move a few weeks back.
We'll see you down at Scotiabank Arena on Thursday. Okay, Chris?
Sounds good, guys. Have a good show.
Thanks very much.
Thanks, Chris.
Chris Johnson joining us, and he shares Sean Mathias's puzzlement, bewilderment about Austin Matthews ice time. Of course, Chris, Sportsnet, sportsnet.ca, and Hockey Night in Canada.
You got me fired up there.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, it's a, you and Savvy. You're the advocate. Well, yeah, it's interesting, like he says, other people in the organization, and there's always coaches' favorites. I knew that. You know, when you're with anything on a team, you know, there's always a coach's favorite, and you're in the front office, and you're pissed off, and you're saying, geez, you know, why is he playing X instead of Y? And, well, when you win cups or you have success or have the big contract, I guess Mike Babcock a little more confident doing that than the average coach out there. We'll play the goals in a second from tonight's game, a 3-2 overtime win. But speaking of the coach, let's hear what Mike Babcock had to say after the 3-2 overtime loss to the St. Louis Blues.
But then as the period went on, the first they took the period over and played harder, won the battles, won the races. Then I thought we got the game going real well in the second period and the third period, obviously. You know, they had three power plays. We had none, and so I thought that was a factor in the game. I would have liked to see us crawl our way back and win the game. But I thought we did a lot of good things here today in the latter half of that game to set ourselves up for success, and I was impressed with a lot of our players.
How did you think Willie handled it after now?
Yeah, I thought good. I thought first couple shifts maybe not as good defensively. In the third period, I thought it was good defensively and offensively. You know, it was a factor in the game. You know, we had some good looks where we missed the net, and I thought Willie and Cap were two of those guys in that area, but I thought he played well.
When did you know Nas wasn't going to be available?
When it came in after the first period. I think it was the first period. So they just, I didn't know what was going on or nothing like that. But obviously, you know, we got bumped into. So whatever they do here in these situations.
How do you feel about the road trip overall, especially as you tick down towards a trade deadline?
Yeah, I liked their road trip a lot. I didn't like their game in Phoenix. Other than that, I liked their game every night. I mean, I would have liked to have a better first year. And yet, you got to give them credit. They're a good team playing well. They're a big, long team on the back. You know, when you're long like that, you create a lot of turnovers just because you take up so much space. But I thought, I liked their road trip with the exception of the game in Phoenix.
Did you like the club's ability to compete, track down pucks and force the transition game a bit?
Well, I just thought as we got digging in and competing at a high level, I mean, the game's so simple. Is if you work hard, you get rewarded. And if you don't work hard enough, you don't. And when you're playing real good teams, you got to be ready to go right at the start. Tonight, we weren't at their level at the start. And in the end, it probably cost us a point. But I still like a lot of the things we did today, and it's a good step for our team.
Mike Babcock's favorite word, long. So if I put on a bit of weight, am I long? Is that good? Does that sound better, more athletic?
Yeah,
okay.
Sure.
Okay, I appreciate that. The long.
James, you know, your nephew wants us to have like a weight loss contest, eh? He keeps talking to me. He keeps texting me about this.
That you're supposed to be involved? Me and him?
He wants us to have one.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What's your, have you put weight on?
Oh, I put some weight
on. Oh, have you really?
Oh, yeah.
Post-career? Okay. Well, everything's relative. Okay. Well, James, we'll let James organize it. We'll figure it out. He's good at organizing things. So maybe he should join in too, is my only suggestion, but we'll worry about that. Let's hear the goals from tonight's game, because we alluded to some of them a little bit earlier on, and Mike Babcock mentioning he would have liked to have had a better first period tonight against St. Louis. And that is because that's when the Blues scored their two goals in regulation time. Here's the first one.
Muzzin spills into the corner awkwardly, back out front. Great chance. Scores. Jaden Schwartz gets it by as Muzzin scrambled into the corner, and Schwartz found it past Anderson.
Yeah, Jaden Schwartz, one of the injured Blues for a while before. They had a lot of injuries early on, the St. Louis Blues, the sixth of the year from Bozak and Steen at the 10-13 mark.
Yep, 2X Leafs on the play, and we talked about how slippery that ice was. Muzzin spilled there in the corner pretty hard, so it's good to see him get back up and not be hurt, but that was a tough one to see.
Yeah, he was 2-0. Yeah, he was out of the play there, and that set it up, and that gives him the 1-0 lead. Then later, again, only three power plays all went to the St. Louis Blues, and here's the power play late in the first period.
Now they're going to look at this. This may have gone in. This is why the horn is gone, and this is not good news for the Leafs. As Parayko let it go, it sounded like it was off the post. We're going to take another look. I think it's in. The top of the net. Over the left side of Freddie Anderson's shoulder. Yep. Post in. off the back crossbar, and the Blues have a 2-0 lead.
And the reason we're hearing more from Jim Ralph there, and by the way, Todd Crocker did the game again, did an excellent job. Joe Bowen, let's hope he's well for Thursday. He's missed because of voice reasons the last few games. So Parayko his 10th from Schwartz and Bozak at the 17:42 mark, but this was 30 seconds later that the war room gave notice that it was a war room in Toronto gave notice that it was a goal.
Yeah, absolute rocket from the point. I can never understand how they shoot it that hard from the back end. Like, I try and do those drills, and it's not even getting off the ice. It's tough. So it was an absolute beautiful shot. And, yeah, that's all it really was.
But it went in so quickly. That's why nobody even really reacted on the ice like they knew it had gone in, right? It kind of went in so quickly, hit that middle stanchion underneath, and came back out that there was like 30 seconds.
Well, made the ding too, right? Yeah. So everyone thought it just hit the post. Yeah. I thought from watching it, I mean, it was a beautiful shot, but you don't see it hit the post and the back bar and spill out like that too often.
So quick. So, yeah. Well, they did it, and they in the old days of no video, that would have been okay for the Maple Leafs, but there's been video for a lot of years. So the period ends 2-0 St. Louis Blues. They outshoot the Leafs 19-9, and like Bab said, it wasn't a great first period for the Maple Leafs. Second period, I thought pretty uneventful. Mike Babcock liked it as a road period. 16-13, the Leafs outshot the St. Louis Blues. And now we get in the third period, and the Leafs, who, man, I think hardly had any scoring chances. Freddie was just phenomenal making saves on the Leafs side, but all of a sudden, very quickly, bang, bang, they tie it up. Here's the first
Gardner
goal.
Sends it up through the middle, but it's right back the other way. Schwartz trying to get past Travis Dermott, who makes a nice play to knock it away. And now Tavares comes back the other way across the line. Marner there, and Tavares still on it, trying to work it back in. And Tavares knocked to his knees. Down out front. That one scores! Zach Hyman finds a way to get the Leafs on the board. 2-1 the score.
Yeah, a little confusion whether Tara Tavares would get an assist or not when you watched it, but then you saw later on it was a little bit sloppy on the Blues' part, and Hyman gets the unassisted goal at the 6:34 mark.
It all starts with Tavares just not giving up on the puck. He just keeps competing. He's so strong on his stick. He just keeps hammering down, just making life hard for the defenseman. And then Hyman, he's a hardworking guy, just in it, right place at the right time.
Well, it's okay. You want to have a good shift right after. They almost got scored against right after the Maple Leafs did. But believe it or not, it's only 31 seconds later. Here we go again.
Here's Kapanen. There's a chance. It's lifted out front. It scores! Austin Matthews solves the Blues' problem, and he ties it up at 2 apiece. And the Leafs are back in this one.
7:05 mark. Austin Matthews is 28th from Zaitsev and Kapanen.
Matthews, he just seems to find those little areas around the net, right? He's so good. I mean, usually we see him put him in with his stick, but today the soccer goal, but it was nice to see him not call that one back. You've seen some weird things with like the goalie interference and stuff, and when they were talking about the blocker and stick, I mean, I would have stopped watching hockey if they didn't count that goal. I would have been done with
saying.
It. Yeah.
Well, the good news is you can keep watching hockey because they very quickly upheld the goal. He had that tough one against Nashville when the Leafs really needed it, right? There was call back on the offside. I think you and I might have been doing the game that night. So he had a little bit of hard luck. So that makes it 2-2. Shots on goal in the third period, 8 apiece. And now we go into overtime. And the first shot of overtime is the deciding goal.
Marner sees a chance, draws in. Marner round behind the goal, looks out front. He thought he had Tavares. He is upended. And now 2-on-1, back the other way. Morgan Riley in the middle and scores. Ryan O'Reilly
in overtime, and it's unassisted 34 seconds in.
You give a guy like O'Reilly an opportunity like that, he's usually going to bury them. He's a good hockey player, and I mean, that's a tough one. Give the puck up, and 3-on-3, you give the puck up, I mean, you're not usually going to get it back.
Well, it's a 3-2 overtime win for the St. Louis Blues over the Toronto Maple Leafs. The last piece of business, the Direct Energy Home Services, hardest working Leaf player of the game. We give it out for all 82 games. And who caught Sean Matthias's eye tonight?
Freddie Anderson. I mean, when you take that many shots and you keep competing hard like that.
And many chances.
Yeah, and you gave your chance a team to win, I think he deserves it.
Yeah, I would say the point is Freddie Anderson's that he got the Toronto Maple Leafs, and he is our Direct Energy Home Services hardest working Leaf player of the game. Next game for the Maple Leafs, they are home against the Washington Capitals on Thursday. It's a 3-2 loss tonight to the St. Louis Blues in overtime. You're listening to Leafs Nation Postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers, Gord Stellick, Sean Matthias on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
to talk about what just happened. This is Leafs Nation Postgame on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network.
Welcome back. Leafs Nation Postgame brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers, Gord Stelick, Sean Mathias in for Mark Savard as we follow a 3-2 overtime win for the St. Louis Blues over the Toronto Maple Leafs. And we heard from Mike Babcock, and it was a little more kid gloves, I thought. He just kind of said the first period was the only thing he didn't really like and kind of gave them props, but then just said it comes down to, I guess, the old thing every coach says about working hard enough.
Yeah, he's just like, if you work hard, it's good enough. But he said, he kept going, I liked our game. We did some good things. I want to hear what he liked about the game, because the first two periods, there wasn't much to like. I mean, they were losing a lot of puck battles in their own end. They were the lines, they weren't getting pucks in. They were losing a lot of battles there. Third period, they played really well. They were a totally different team. They looked great. But those first two periods, and he talks about against these good teams, we've got to start off on time and be on time for those games. And against a team like Washington, you're going to definitely have to. But that hasn't been the issue a lot of the time. A lot of the higher up teams they've been playing really well against. So it's kind of shocking that they started off as they did. But you talked about maybe the road trip or maybe tired legs or something. But I want to hear what he liked about that game.
Yeah, because, you know, maybe just they got the point and it's the end of a 6-game, 12-day road trip. Because I agree with you, kind of threw the Arizona one, which one is the standalone that was a super clunker. But I really thought, aside from the two goals, this one wasn't far behind.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see what he says in video or something. It'd be a fly on the wall in that for sure. But, I mean, they have to start on time. But I think you're right. I think he's just happy they got the point on a road game and a tough road trip here. So, and it's a tough rink to play in. That's a tough rink. I mean, it's not the nicest hotel. It's not a lot of restaurants around. As a player, it's always a tough place to play. And St. Louis always has big, strong defensemen, and they're hard around their own net. They clog up the neutral zone. So it's I can see his point why he's happy about the 1 point, but I still want to hear more.
The other thing is I love coaches. I think they're all the same, but they act naive about the concussion protocol because they understand it, you know, and they support it. But when the game's on, you kind of want your players, right? I know I'm not saying he forces the guy to go out there, but they always kind of go, oh, I don't know. I get told it, and that's what I do, and they've come to accept it, but they don't really want to elaborate because in a perfect world, they just want everybody healthy. Who wouldn't?
Yeah. Well, he said, I don't know what they really do. You should probably know what goes on for the protocol, right? So, and then you look at Kadri. I mean, he took a couple hits in that first period. Mm-hmm. First or second shift was the big hit. So it's always the second hit that makes a concussion worse. He could have been hurt there, mm-hmm. and then he takes another hit, which he did later in the period. And now that could be a month or two. So to say you don't know what the protocol is, that's not good enough. Like, it's just not good enough.
Yeah, and the other part is, as I call it, the C word, because once concussion is, and you mentioned it's probably about 10 days because that's what the minimal protocol is, and that's why so often teams have kind of skirted it by saying upper body, right? Mm-hmm. They don't use that word because then they can look at getting the guy back a little bit quicker. But it seems like in Kadri's case, certainly not going to play against Washington, I would doubt, and probably out for a number of days. So we'll stay on top of that. Austin Matthews, let's hear from the big cactus, as we call him. He had one goal, two shots on net. Again, the kind of baffling 16 minutes, 52 seconds of ice time. Let's hear what Austin Matthews had to say after the 3-2 overtime loss.
Yeah, I mean, not to start, we won it at all. They came out hard, obviously. And, you know, they sent a message, they had the puck the whole time, and you know, we gave up two. So I think we can be proud of our effort, all in all, battling back there in the third and scoring two goals to force in overtime and get a point. So it could have gone either way. But, you know, I thought we kind of figured it out a little bit halfway through the second into the third and started playing a lot better. And, you know, we made up for some of the mistakes in the first and battled back.
What do you think you guys changed midway through the second?
I thought we just a little bit better D zone, breaking out the puck in our own end, and I mean, they did a pretty good job of that too to start off, and they were just in our zone the whole time, and they spread us out pretty well. So I thought finally, once we started spreading them out and just shooting the puck, I mean, their goalie played unbelievable tonight. He made some big saves for them, and a big key for us to begin with is just getting on the inside. They're a big team; they keep you on the outside. So once we kind of did that, you know, we started to get more and more chances and scored some goals and battled back.
Was it tough without Naz there? Just with the lines getting jumbled around all that the last 2 periods?
Yeah, you just got to adjust for something like that. Obviously, I mean, he's a big part of this team. He does a lot for us down the middle there. So when you lose a key player like that, other guys need to step up. And, you know, I think we put Willie there in the middle for most of the game. And he kind of answered the bell. He did well. And, you know, you just got to get guys that keep their shifts short so they can jump in and on that other line and kind of mix guys around and just get out there and play hockey.
You weren't too worried of waiting out that review for goalie interference?
No, I mean, I didn't know what they were really challenging it for. All of us thought it was kicking motion, and then I think it ended up being goalie interference. But I don't know, from my point of view, there was no kicking motion. It just deflected off my foot, and I don't know. I'm not even sure I touched it while it was rolling in the net, but I know I didn't touch the goalie or anything like that, so I didn't really know what was going on. But I think we were all pretty confident on the bench that it was a good goal.
The ability to engage and tenacity, was that a key in the third period in forcing turnovers and getting the transition game going?
Yeah, I think once we started playing a little bit meaner, I mean, they came out hard. They were finishing checks, a couple of big hits for them, and you know, I think that was a big wake-up call for us going into the second and third. We needed to compete a bit more and play a bit meaner because they were just outworking us in every category. So I think once we kind of just put our foot on the gas, we had more and more opportunities and played more of our style of game, tracking pucks and going the other way, utilizing our speed and just putting the puck in behind and getting on them. So I thought that third period we played a lot better.
There you go, Austin Matthews talking about tonight's game.
Do you think did you hear him talking about like team toughness there?
Yeah.
That's interesting,
yeah,
especially talking about like Ferland and Simmons. Like,
yeah,
if you're Dubas and you're listening to that, he was basically just saying we're getting pushed around the first period and woke us up.
Yeah,
like, shouldn't you have that guy in there that maybe goes, "Hey, boys"?
Yeah, yeah. So that's the kind of thing. He's saying it internally to the team, but also saying it externally that maybe we could use another guy in that role. So he's not the captain, but him and Tavares really have taken over those roles of being the spokes guys. Which I always felt bad, Dion Phaneuf, that when your team's losing, it's tough going out every night being like Connor McDavid. That can't be fun for him in Edmonton.
Yeah, it's easy when you win, right?
Yeah, so absolutely.
But another thing Matthews mentioned there was the shift length. And we were talking a little bit about that as well. So it's funny seeing, like, you can just see Babcock's comments from inside the dressing room coming out in a lot of his players, like Morgan Riley. A lot of things he says, I've heard Babcock say in the room before. And I'm sure Tavares and Matthews are kind of repeating the same thing. But shift length, I mean, there was only one guy with 50 seconds and the rest were below that. And I know playing in Winnipeg and other teams, it's always stress under 45, under 50, let's get that. And in Winnipeg, it was, if you were over 50 seconds, the coach would put it on the board and kind of shame you or whatever. And if you look at St. Louis, other than their top dogs, I mean, most guys are under 40, under 50 seconds as well. So it's interesting hearing him talk about that, because there is something there.
It's so it seems like 50 is the number.
Under 50.
Under 50 is the number. And that's something that you better adhere to.
Unless you're Marner, because he had 50. And I mean, he could stay out there for as long as he wants. I love watching him play.
Well, it's, again, tough night for the Toronto Maple Leafs. And a little bit, we'll take a look at the out-of-town scoreboard. And we'll see if we get an end to Arizona and Edmonton right now tied 2-2 in a shootout. So we'll see. That should end momentarily.
That's a game you really want to watch.
Yeah. Yeah. It's right. Too bad we didn't watch this one. Yeah. And especially with no Connor McDavid. That even makes it better. Out due to illness. Yeah, your old team, the Florida Panthers, a 4-2 win over the Buffalo Sabres. Boy, you know, it's too late for Florida. They're on a bit of a run. And boy, the Buffalo Sabres, they're sour. Those fans.
Yeah, what's happening
there?
They
had a St. Louis Blues-style winning streak back in November. Remember that? They banked, and they are sour right now. I don't know what's going on there. They're just gone south right now. Pittsburgh, 4-3 winners over the New Jersey Devils. Tampa Bay Lightning, 5-2 winners over the Philadelphia Flyers. Going to be hard for the Flyers, isn't it? You know, Carolina's crept up there, but the East, it's just too hard to make up distance.
It's like every year for them, right? And now you see their number one goalie, Hart, get pulled after 9 shots, 3 goals, and he's a young guy. So hopefully they don't take his confidence away and there's more goaltending issues there.
The New York Rangers beat Carolina 2-1, so we don't get to
sour
see...
Sour grapes.
Sour grapes, that's right. That's right. We don't get to see the hurricane surge, which after Don Cherry's remarks on Saturday, everybody was hoping to see. Montreal Canadiens, 3-2 winners over the Columbus Blue Jackets. You know, some tough loss for Columbus. Montreal needed it. They lost 4 in a row. Like, they've had a great season, but they were just hanging on to that second wild card spot now by 1 point. So that's a big W for them.
Oh, yeah, especially this time of year. Can't be losing 4 in a row.
No. Well, and a tough one as well. The Minnesota Wild, they fall out of a playoff spot for the first time in a while. They lose at home to a 4-0 loss to the Anaheim Ducks, who are 3-1-0 under Bob Murray now and are kind of salvaging their playoff hopes.
They just needed a change of scenery. Sometimes that's all you need.
Well, and they had a brutal road trip too, but just, you know, they came home playing home sweet home, but Bob Murray taking off both portfolios, and Nashville 5-3 over the Dallas Stars.
Would he get paid more for being like the coach too now?
That's a good question.
Is there a bonus for that?
Yeah, that's a good question. You know, a lot of times it is true. Every organization is not like the Toronto Maple Leafs, and a lot of organizations, and that's what they were thinking about Anaheim, is they don't like paying ex-coaches. Like, owners aren't happy. Like, they don't want to say, okay, we're going to bring another guy in at $4 million or $3 million or whatever the going rate is, and we still have to pay Randy Carlyle off. Like, a lot of times, in some instances, I do believe general managers kind of wait because the owner really isn't keen about that. And so Bob Murray, to your point, has taken that away from him, saying, don't worry, I'm going to do both. I don't know if he slides it in. And can I get more money? Probably not. But
I hope
anyway.
So.
Well, he's the guy. He's the guy there in Anaheim. Thursday, Leafs and Washington Capitals. Alexander Ovechkin. What's that like taking on the defending Stanley Cup champions if you're Sean Mathias playing for the Leafs or Florida or Vancouver or whomever?
Personally, I'd just be hoping I'd be killing the penalty on the other side because that shot is just something lethal. I mean, they're so good. Their power play is really good now, especially when they got Oshie. Bringing him in the middle there, I mean, he opened up a lot of lanes. He gave them a lot more options. They're a really good team. And Toronto, they were up for the last time they played them. They're a good team. So we know how Toronto responds to the good teams. They seem to wake up, as Babs would say. They start on time. But, I mean, Ovi's been having another great season. It's crazy to think he's still scoring the way he is. It'd be interesting to see if he can hit 800.
Yeah, and again, 10 consecutive years of 40 goals, which is phenomenal. We'll have that game for you on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, on Thursday. A 3-2 overtime win for the St. Louis Blues over the Toronto Maple Leafs. You're listening to Leafs Nation Postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers. Gord Stelic, Sean Mathias on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.